Greetings, radio friends. Once again, we have the blessed privilege of coming your way in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died for each and every one of us, that we might be saved, and He was raised from the dead, that He might justify us, and He's coming again in power and great glory from the presence of Almighty God to claim His own. We hope and trust that you'll be ready for that day. This program is sponsored by the Church of God of Resurrection Hope, the Church of God of Abrahamic Faith, located in Lenore, North Carolina, on the Lord Arnie Road. We hold services each Sunday. The Sunday school is 9:30, morning worship service 10:30, the evening message is 7 o'clock each Sunday evening. You have a cordial invitation to worship with us if you're in our area at any time. After 6,000 years of history of mankind, civilization has come to a point with many religions. Worship of some god of some kind is a characteristic of mankind. Mankind, without the use of expression to a higher deity, seems locked in, imprisoned in self. The only way of escape is by worship. It was not some new thing which Paul the Apostle encountered at Mars Hill. As he passed by and beheld the devotions of the men of Athens, he beheld among them the altar marked to the unknown God. In addressing these people, Paul made it very emphatic. "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious." They loved the outlet of worship, but superstitious, even being too superstitious, had led them to the worship of many gods. Now Paul is telling them of this unknown God's altar that they had made to this unknown God. He said, "Him will I declare unto you." Several things listed by Paul in his declaration are as follows. 1. God made the world and all things therein. 2. He is the Lord of heaven and of earth. 3. He dwelleth not in temples made with hands. 4. He's not worshipped of men's hands as though he needed anything. And 5. He giveth to all life and breath and all things. 6. He hath made of one blood all nations of men. 7. For the purpose of dwelling on the face of all the earth. 8. He hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. 9. That they should seek the Lord, if aptly they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. 10. For in him we live and move and have our being. These 10 points of consideration we could most assuredly spend time in several sermons on, but we just mentioned them, but this wants to show you the foundation of our relationship with the true and living God, who is the creator of us all, and in whom we live and move and have our being. Since the earliest of times of history, man has known that the God who created all things has been recognized by many of the people of earth who have lived on the earth and has been worshipped. Now, in the worship of this God, there's been 3 major things of involvement that are important to every man. These 3 things are as follows. 1 is life now, the 2nd one is death, and the 3rd is life hereafter. Now, there have been many people who have had great wisdom, and then some of ignorance and some of superstition about all 3 subjects. Today, the greatest and most glorious outlet for the heart of man is worship and belief in this God whom Paul spoke of to the men at Mars Hill, and this God's book, which is the Bible, which gives the most logical answers to these questions of what is life, this life we're living now, what is death, and what is life hereafter. We could change this thought to say, is there any life now, or is there any death, and is there any life hereafter? Is this life permanent? Just what is this life? Many writers of the Bible have expressed as near as possible what this life is like, or what it is. We are begotten and conceived of our parents, born into this world, and we had nothing to do with our being here. We brought nothing into this world, and when we're born into this life, we begin to live a life that is changeable. As a baby, we grow from childhood and change till we become an adult. And as an adult, we age and grow old as we live. The change becomes more apparent as we reach 70s and 80s. This life consummates in death. Speaking of this life and the climax of death, James the Apostle said, James 4:14, "For what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away." Now that means it disappears out of sight. It is like a vapor while we live, and then its disappearance is classified as death when it vanishes. The prophet Job said, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. O remember that my life is wind. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Again he spoke and said, Man that is born of a woman is of few days, or short on days, and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower. He is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not. This life then is temporary. It will come to an end. It will consummate in death. The wise man Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 2:23 that all of his days are sorrow and travail and grief. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. We can understand then that this life by which we receive birth from our mother is about an average of 70 to 80 years span. It is soon over with, and it comes to an abrupt end by death. Before we reach an age like this, however, we can be cut down in death by accident or disease. This life is under termination because by one man sin entered into this world, and death came upon the whole human race because of sin. And all people are included under this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of our God. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Christ is the first fruit, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming, that is to arise from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:17-19. Then the scriptures tells us, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, that's Hebrews 9:27. We find that there is an appointment unto all men to die once, to cease to live, to be subjected to the curse of death. This life then is lived with the full knowledge that it must come to an end. That end will be by death. We might then ask ourselves this question, what is death? Perhaps the many theories of death could be evaluated, such as death is the gateway to glory, but this could not be true, for Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the gateway to glory. Death is never the gateway to glory. We find the Bible speaks him emphatically and explicitly in 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now, if death is going to be destroyed, it means that it will be destroyed because it is an enemy and not a friend. Just as this life does not last for all eternity, neither does the first death last for eternity. It is an enemy that holds us captive. When in under the influence of death, we become inactive, unconscious, and asleep. Jesus has promised a resurrection, however, of both good and bad from this sleep of death. He said, Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Therefore, we need to understand that just as surely as this life ends in death, so the death that kills us in this mortal state will give way to resurrection at the coming of the Lord, that we might live again. This brings us to the life hereafter. Concerning life hereafter, we find in 1 John 5:12 that this is the record that God hath given to us. Eternal life, this life, is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. In this life we derive our life by generations, and generating, and we're generated into being from Adam. But in the world to come, in the life after this life, it is dependent on whether or not we have life in the Son of God. That is, know the Son of God, have received the Son of God, have come to him for the salvation of God. This is life eternal, and it comes only through the Lord Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Just as this life does not end until death begins, so death cannot end of the Adamic nature until life eternal begins. The intermediate state, therefore, is one of death, all the way, unconsciousness without activity, without motion, one of sleep and quietness, of blackness and non-being. When we come to the resurrection of both good and bad, we come to the end of the Adamic death. Just as the life in Adam began at one point of time in the history of man, and will last until the coming of the Lord and the resurrection of the dead, so it will end at that one point of time, at the coming of the Lord and the resurrection of the dead. The eternal life begins at the coming of the Lord and the resurrection of the dead, but only to those who are in Christ. The Scriptures tells us, now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. To those who are in Christ, who will be made alive to eternal life, to live forever at his coming, they will on that day of his appearing receive the crown of life. Peter declared, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Jesus, speaking of eternal life, said that his followers would receive eternal life in the world to come. Now, our life is hid with Christ in God, and when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. This eternal life is with the Lord Jesus until the time of our being recipients of it. The world, or age to come, will begin with the coming of the Lord. All those who are in Christ, even though they are dead, shall at his coming be raised to life eternal. We find Jesus said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. But this never die is not connected to the Adamic death, the first appointment to death of men, but the second death. For there is a second death, and it will be for those who are judged worthy of that second death because of sin and iniquity, because they failed to lay hold on eternal life, and because they failed to accept the life giver, Jesus Christ our Lord, and to receive the redemption of God and have it applied to their lives. That death will consummate in the lake of fire and brimstone. Paul tells us and how and when the righteous shall receive this eternal life. It's a life away from corruption, or a life that corruption cannot touch, a life which mortality cannot touch, a life that is to be lived forevermore. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. These are they who are raised to life eternal, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. But these that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation are judgment. Those in the resurrection to life will rise from the Adamic death and will pass from the death state to life eternal. They will rise incorruptible. Those outside of Christ will pass from death state to judgment, and from judgment to the second death. The second death is not related to the Adamic death at all. The Adamic death is related only through Adam. The second death is related only to the second Adam. Those who refuse to accept life through the conditions of the second Adam will surely die the second death, because they refuse to accept God's Son, the second Adam. When John spoke about Christians passing from death to life, he pointed out, we know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. That means those that love the brethren in Christ are passed from death, or promoted from the Adamic death at his conclusion to life eternal at the coming of the Lord. There is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Thus to be in Christ now is to rise, to be made incorruptible, called up to meet the Lord as he descends in the clouds. We hope and trust that these thoughts today will be a blessing to you, and have been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that each of us today may lay hold on eternal life, that we may call on the Lord and be saved. We remember thy word which says that it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Touch every heart and ready, O land, and draw us close to thee. We'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.